You're with Tim Shiel
on Double J.
I toured with Gautier for a couple of years.
You know what's crazy?
Yes.
Dude, I'm tripping right now. Because you look like the cat that was playing you're triggering some sounds, and you had a real dope groove you was doing, man. It was in a radio station, and I looked at you and I said, man, I think that's the cat that was with Gautier, and you kind of got this cool little thing you was doing.
I'm wearing the same kind of shirt.
Man, that I'm tripping me, yeah. out right now, bro. That was you, and I thought it was you. Man, you got it. I love you, man.
An honor to welcome Mr. Hayes.
What's up?
AKA
What's
up? Morris Hayes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Do you remember the first time you bumped into Prince in the halls or in the studio at Paisley Park?
Yeah, I mean, I would see him all the time, and, you know, he would see me, but he just never said anything to me. So yeah. It was, like, really weird because I was cool with a couple of his band guys, you know, like Levi Caesar and Mark Brown.
Right.
So I'd be in the studio, and Prince would be holding court doing this thing, you know, and I'd just kind of be in the corner out of the way. You know, and I just made it a point not to laugh too loud, or, you know, if the jokes, because Prince loved to joke and he'd be funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried not to bring any attention to myself, because people who usually got attention usually got gone somehow.
Right.
I think what really got his attention is Levi let me do some keyboard parts on the song that Time was working on, and he heard it and he liked it. And that was really the first comments he really made to me. He was like, he said, while I was sitting in the studio, he said, that was a nice solo. And I was like looking around like, you're talking to me? And he's like, you did the solo, right? And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I'm talking to you then. And I was like, okay, because he never really said anything to me before.
Right.
So that was kind of like the first thing that he's like, okay, you can play.
And it was all about the musicianship of Prince, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what it really came down. It was a lot of, at that time, man, you know, a lot of people worked at Paisley. It was like the Starship Enterprise. It was just like a lot of people walking around. You know what they did.
Yeah.
You know, and then toward the end, it just was nobody there because he didn't want anybody there. But back then, it was like 100 and some people on the staff. So it was just like folks all over the place at Paisley Park.
Morris, I want to take you back to a pretty special night on 2007 at the NFL Super Bowl. One of the greatest Super Bowl performances of all time.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Incredible. Prince at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Thundering rain
coming
down. No one could have predicted it. Do you remember, you know, Prince's reaction at the time when he found out that he was going to have to perform in the middle of a torrential downpour in heels?
Yeah, I mean, I remember him asking the dude. There was a guy, like one of the production persons. He was talking to him and he was saying, like, hey, Prince, just kind of explaining the situation. Like, okay, man, like we've checked the weather and it looked like it's going to be coming in on us, you know, and we're kind of like trying to decide whether we're going to use the footage from the, because what you do in the Super Bowl, you run the whole thing on Friday night.
Yeah.
Full dress, like whatever you're going to wear, they film it just like you're going to be there at the actual game in case anything happens on Sunday. They have this B-roll, they have this stuff already that's there.
Yeah.
So they were explaining to him, this is the situation, man. It's looking like it's not going to let up. It's going to come in here. And so it could be treacherous. And so he was like, can you make it rain harder? And they were like, what? You know, he was like, cool, no problem.
Yeah.
And he said, let's rock and roll. You know, so it was like, he was like, bring it on.
Was he fearless?
He really was, in the sense of, you know, it's kind of a difficult thing to say. And on one hand, because Prince got really nervous with these kind of shows. It's like, it's weird because I didn't really understand that at first. Like when we would do these shows, because he'd always just seem like he was just being weird. Like he'd call me a bunch of times, like, what are you wearing? And I'd be like, well, you said you wanted me to wear the hood with the yellow hood.
Right.
Oh, okay. Click. He hangs up. Then 2 minutes later, like, what are you wearing? Like I was like, wait, okay, wear the thing like this. And then click. And then he'd call back and say, you should wear the mask. And I'm like, okay. Like he'd call a lot of times.
It's neurotic.
Just like and finally I said, you know what? And then he'd call back and say, you know, it's okay. You know, sometimes I'll wear the mask. And I'm like, Prince, you're the boss. You want me to wear the mask? I'll wear the mask. No problem. You know? And he would just, and I found out later that he it was like all that attention to detail, he was really nervous about, not so much about what he was going to do, but mostly about what we were going to do. Because in his mind, he's going to kill it. But I'm making changes. I want to make sure you guys get it. You know, that you guys know what I'm trying to do. Because his whole thing was, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on the stage and murderize my part. I got it. Morris, what are you going to do?
You know, I mean, I'm sure you learned a lot from Prince musically, but if you can think of one thing that's most important to you in terms of what you learned from him, because he was such a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, can you think of one? What's the most important thing you learned from Prince over the 20 years, I think?
I think for musicians, man, like for anybody, really.
Yeah.
One of the things that he would say often was, it's not a mistake until you stop. If your keyboard, like one of my keyboards died, I had this Oberheim, this old school keyboard. It's a dope keyboard, but it would fail. And it just did a death squeal one night in like Sweden, and it just went down, and it made this crazy sound, and like, and I was like, oh my God, like, well, I'm looking at it like, what in the world is it doing? And it just died. Mm-hmm. And so I just reached over and just kind of turned the volume knob off and it just, you know, tried to reboot it. And so he's looking at me, he just threw a towel at me. And then when he go in the back room, he's like, Morris, what happened? I said, the keyboard, it died. It went crazy and made a death noise and squealed and died on its own. And he says, well, dude, don't just stand there like a deer in the headlights, you know, like make a show out of it. Pick it up and throw it on the ground and smash it.
Yeah.
He says, I'll buy you a new one. But don't stand there like a deer in the headlights, like you don't know what's going on. It's like now you're distracting. So it's like, it's not a mistake. If you just keep it moving, most people don't really know what you're supposed to do, but they can. If you look confused and if you look like there's something going wrong now, everybody's like, there's a problem with the keyboard player. He's got fire going on over there. You know, it's like it's this thing. But he just said, it's not a mistake until you stop, man. So just remain calm. Keep it moving. It's rock and roll.
It's so amazing what music does to an environment.
Music makes you.
You know, it's just an unspeakable dimension.
Double J.